Welcome to the Full Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:07 p.m. That is Pacific Summer Time. Today is September 5th, and the majority of the Wall Street indices were down in the region of about 1% today. And part of the reason for that is because they have been up so much of late, and also that they're testing previous highs, and that they have been up on consecutive days, so there is at least room for some consolidation in these areas. But then also there is this heightened a geopolitical risk as a result of not only North Korea's nuclear test, but also that they are would appear at least to be positioning another ICBM for a test flight. And that has at least some investors on edge. But when we look at Samsung Electronics, which is by far the most significant of South Korea's companies, then it pulled back rather sharply from the peak that we saw back in July, and it has unwound most of its overbought condition relative to the trend mean, but it was in positive territory today, and that's despite the fact that it has gone through this whole process where the heir to the family fortune has been convicted to 5 years in prison. So when we look at, for example, the Korean market, then surely we get some barometer of what the domestic perception is of risk. There is a process of mean reversion underway, but the market was in a positive territory today, and it has unwound at least half, if not more than half, of its overbought condition relative to the trend mean. If there was any kind of real fear that there was going to be an open warfare on the Korean Peninsula, we could anticipate that the stock market would be down in a much more dynamic fashion. Nevertheless, when we look at, for example, the dollar index, which we could also consider would rally on the potential for an additional uptick in geopolitical tensions, it's struggling to find support here around that 92 level, which is the lower side of a more than 3 year range. And that is an important juncture. When we think back to the beginning of the year, everybody was bullish about the dollar and its prospects and the likelihood that it was going to be able to rally continually, but it has done nothing but trend lower for all of 2017. We're back at an important a potential area of support, and it is really right here whether it is going to be able to demonstrate a return to demand dominance. If we see a sustained move below 92, then that would constitute it would change the outlook for what this chart has been telling us, which is, if we look at it over just the last 10 years, then we can see that it ranged for an awfully long time after 2008. Then we had a very emphatic breakout. And generally speaking, when you've had the breakout after a very long period of underperformance, then you're back in a new bull market. And that certainly looked to be the case back at the end of last year. But if it can hold this level, then this will constitute the first step above the base. If it cannot hold this level, then the next area of potential support is around 90, which is the upper side of the base. But below 90, then we're talking about a failed upside break, and a failed upside break of that magnitude could represent a significant deterioration. So it really is worth, I think, paying some attention to what's going on with the dollar. With the dollar so weak, then that is lending a tailwind to the commodity complex, and gold prices were a little bit firmer again in here today, but the most important thing they've done is clear the $1,300 area, and they are continuing to push upwards here. I must apologize for the fact that these charts have not been updated through the close today. I've lost access to my Bloomberg. The internet connection in London has fallen over, so I haven't been able to update the prices to today's value. I'm going to have to wait for the automatic update, which isn't going to happen for at least another couple of hours. When we then look at the oil price, then we have a $5 discrepancy between, or an arbitrage between, Brent crude, which is currently trading around 52, actually it's more like 53 today, and that is right at the upper side of this range that's been there for the last month. this has been a very orderly consolidation and has been considerably less volatile than the bouts of volatility we've been conditioned to expect since really the beginning of February. So this is a rather different environment than we have been treated to. And because of Hurricane Harvey, so many refineries were shut down. That withdrew demand for crude oil, and West Texas Intermediate fell back into the $46 area. Now it's starting to firm up again, and that arbitrage is beginning to close. It has ample potential to get back up towards that $50 area, and most particularly as we have another major storm brewing in the Eastern Caribbean. What Hurricane Irma moved into a Category 5 in here today. There are fears that it is going to track towards Florida, and so far nobody really knows whether it is going to track to the east or west of the peninsula. But of course, there is the open possibility that it is going to move into the Gulf of Mexico, where there are a significant number of oil rigs. And of course, there is the impact that that's likely to have on the oil price is open to question, because there is so much additional onshore supply that is available as a result of shale oil and gas. Nevertheless, oil prices are comparatively low, and they have been in need of a bullish catalyst, and everyone has been looking at OPEC to provide that bullish catalyst. But then there is the potential that it could be weather related, and the potential for two major storms to hit the US in the same season, well, that's never happened before. So what happens with Hurricane Irma is likely to set a number of records, and not least because it is already one of the strongest hurricanes on the record. And the question of where it makes landfall and how much damage that it does, and indeed what country that happens, is still open to question. But what we are beginning to see is that orange juice prices are responding. And orange juice trended lower from its peak in October of last year. Then it lost momentum from June and had a failed downside break in July, and it has been trading mostly below 140 since June. It is now trading above 140. It's at about 145 at the close today, which would put it right at the upper side of this base formation, and upside follow through tomorrow would complete the base. So that would suggest that a good deal of the bad news is already in the orange juice market, and that there is potential for additional upside from here. So there are certainly weather-related trading opportunities evolving from this market. Then, when we look at the European markets, they were pretty much unchanged in here today. They were down ever so slightly, but not in any, not certainly not in a dynamic fashion. And the S&P 500 was down about 1%. But we can see, for example, that it was right in the region of its previous peak. So it is probably not yet ready to break on the upside. Again, the most important thing about this index is that it has held its progression of higher reaction lows. It has unwound most of its overbought condition relative to the trend mean, and as long as that progression of higher reaction lows remains intact, then we can give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. Even if it were to break that progression and pull back to the region of the trend mean, then that would constitute a mean reversion. It wouldn't even be a 10% pullback, considering how inert the index has been for much of the last few months. And the Dow Jones has also been was down over 200 points in here today as it tested that 22,000 level and has pulled back from it. It is somewhat overextended relative to the trend mean, but a thousand, let's just say for example, a 1,000 point pullback is really not an awful lot on the 22,000 pound index, as 22,000 point index, excuse me. So that also helps to really ram home the point that this has been a very inert period for stock markets. We could have an additional bout of volatility, but as long as we're seeing these indices trading to the left of their respective trend means and continuing to range and then break out and range and break out, well then there isn't any evidence, and I think this remains the case, and it's by far the most important characteristic, that there is no evidence of type 1, type 2, or type 3 trend endings. And by and large, what we mostly have is evidence of indices that are finding support in the region of their respective trend means and then bouncing. And the Russell 2000 is certainly in that category. There was an awful lot of commentary last week, and not least because of Hurricane Harvey, about what was happening with the transportation index, but that has also bounced from the region of its trend mean. The vast majority of European indices are in the region of their respective trend means, whereas in Asia, what we're seeing is an increasing number of markets breaking on the upside, and they share much greater commonality with the S&P 500, the Nasdaq, or the Dow Jones. The Thai index, for example, is testing the upper side of what's pretty much a four-year range, and if we look at that on the 10-year basis, it has been a reasonably volatile range, but this has been a very orderly consolidation in the region of 1600, and now it's trading above that level. So this, I think, remains the region that is likely to benefit most from the return of synchronized global economic expansion. And the Indian market is consolidating here around this psychological 10,000 level. When we look at India, I think we also have to look at the currency, and again, the currency has been very steady. It continues to hold this advance. The dollar continues to remain weak against the Indian rupee. Inflation is coming down, and this is still a bullish environment for a number of Asian markets. And with the oil price, the gold price, the copper price, all still really quite firm, then that's also likely to feed through into profits for commodity companies and for commodity exporting countries. So we're also seeing the return to outperformance of a number of Latin American countries, or Australia, the Australian Resources Index, the South African market, and Canadian Materials Index is also beginning to find support here. It has been a laggard relative to just about every other one of the commodity indices, but it has found support here around that 2000 level, and this is a clear bounce. If it can sustain a move above 2500, well, then it will be completing what has been a four-year base formation. So this is another market that would appear to be joining the recovery that we're seeing in commodity prices. And I think it is also worth just keeping an eye as well on the continuous commodity index, because it was dragged lower by the soft commodities and the agriculturals in the early part of this year, but there is increasing evidence that it is firming again from that 400 level, and that is certainly to the supportive of, at least, of the bullish hypothesis. And the Baltic Dry Index, I can't remember the last time I showed this chart, but what is evident is that it has held a progression of high reaction lows since early 2016. There is a rounding characteristic over the last 4 years, and it is trading above that 1,000-point level. And part of the reason that it is it has been so depressed is because there are so many ships, and with that kind of excess following the really quite profound boom in shipbuilding that took place during the height of the commodity boom, it's going to take time to unwind it. It's also going to take time for some of those older vessels to be taken to be decommissioned. But there are important things happening in the shipping index. Not least that there is the wastewater initiative that's going to be implemented late this year, I think. And then there is also the changeover, or the tighter emissions controls in terms of the fuel that they use. And that will contribute to some of those older ships being taken out of service. And that could contribute to higher prices. Generally speaking, ships tend to be very much a cyclical business, and they have been a serial laggard over much of the last few years. And I'd like to finish with just a quick comment on Bitcoin. It pulled back quite sharply with China banning initial coin offerings, and it has steadied up again in here today. This has been almost a $1,000 pullback, although not quite. The pullback that we saw in August was also a little bit less than 1,000, and the pullback that we saw in June was a bit less than 1,000, although it did extend to somewhat more than 1,000 very briefly. If that's indeed the case, then perhaps we can conclude that a little bit less than a 1,000-point pullback is normal. And I want to emphasize normal in inverted commas for this trend. That also helps to highlight just how incredibly volatile it is, both on the upside and on the downside. But as long as that 4,000-point level is holding, then the chances are that this is a pause within the context of what is an incredibly steep uptrend. And I think with that, I will leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.